This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Andrea Dennis. And welcome to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. As you know, I'm from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital, but on Saturday, especially ones that are sunny and bright, and soon winter will be in our rearview mirror. I can feel it. But soon we're going to go ahead and talk to our guests. We are very, very fortunate to have a special individual with us today. And again, we're going to take a little different turn from some of the things that we've talked about in the past couple of weeks ago. We talked about some really new and revolutionary medications that are being used for osteoarthritis in some of in our dogs and cats. And so this is what we continue to do, try to bring something that's new, something that's going to really help you at home. And one of the things that I have been seeing a lot of is a lot of anxiety issues with a lot of dogs post-COVID. I mean, we've dealt with anxiety with dogs and cats, but it really has been on the rise. As far as I'm concerned, this is just my own judgment from what I see coming through the door, some of the phone calls I get. So I thought it was very important that we talk to a specialist, and we are very, very fortunate to have Dr. Allison is her true name. We'll find out what she likes to be called, Salzer. And she has a PhD in behavior analyst, and she's a certified applied animal behaviorist, and she is the founder and owner of Canine Behavioral Blueprints. Welcome, Dr. Salzer.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on and for the very warm welcome. And Allie is totally fine. Great. I joke that I only am called Allison when I'm in trouble.
Well, Allie fits you perfect, but I think also you are a doctor, so we'll refer to you as Dr. Salzer, which I think when one works as hard as they do, getting their degrees, it's earned and it's deserved. So again, as I was alluding to in the beginning, I am just seeing issues. So can you explain to me that as an animal behaviorist, what do you feel needs to, how can you best help our patients?
Yeah, and I think in order to best answer that question, it will be helpful to provide the listeners with a little bit of background of what I do.
Yes.
And I think that'll tie in beautifully to how I can help.
Sure.
And so I know that maybe these certifications that I present are a little bit novel to some folks, because certified applied animal behaviorists, although it is in a prestigious credential, and I'd love to talk a little bit about that. There aren't that many. There are actually about 50 practicing certified applied animal behaviorists in the United States. And a certified applied animal behaviorist is someone who has had a minimum of 5 years of experience working with their population of interest. So in my case, it's companion animals, mostly dogs. But we have those that are like equine specialists, as an example. And as a part of that, you must also have an advanced degree in animal behavior or ethology. And so that would be like a PhD in behavioral psychology in my example, and as well as demonstration of peer-reviewed literature and other advancements in the field. So all of those things come into play when talking about somebody who has these credentials. And that's important because somebody like me and another CAB would have the expertise to address some of the concerns and the anxiety that you're reporting, coming from it from a very evidence-based and empirical perspective rather than maybe just anecdotes. And I think that coming from a very science-based perspective to address some of these problems is the most effective means of doing so.
Well, when I first saw your name, you know, I recognized the PhD, you know, because you have like 23 alphabets after your name. So PhD I recognized, and then you just referred to CAB. And so there is, I appreciate you explaining these certifications and the degrees, because again, it is something that, and I think I have been sort of in the middle of animal health and animal behavior for decades. So this is, and it sounds like the qualifications are, I mean, you really, it's quite rigorous.
Yes, it most definitely was. It was a career goal of mine to become a CAB for that reason, because I wanted to be considered an expert in the area. And to do so, there's a bunch of different behaviors that we must engage in, both working directly with the organisms of interest, so our furry family members.
There are organisms.
And as well as taking the academic approach and having that experience through graduate level training.
Excellent. Well, we're so happy to have you. Again, the need is there, and I'm sure people that are listening, we're going to kind of, if you, hopefully you can stay with us for the entire show, because we're going to kind of, we'd like to kind of see how this movement of some of the issues you're having at home with your pets, how we can work with a specialist like Dr. Selzer and your veterinarian, because it is going to be a team effort, but it's real. So let me just ask you then, what is behavior analysis and applied animal behavior then?
Yes. So behavior analysis is the field of study in which behavior is our area of interest. So we look at behavior as an area to be studied and not necessarily just a manifestation of maybe an emotional state.
Okay.
And the reason that's so important is we can't ask our dogs how they're feeling.
Right.
We have to use their behavior in order to understand what might be going on. And so by using behavior analysis, which looks at the environmental variables that play a role in behavior and, of course, the behavior of our pets, we are able to solve some of these problems by maybe making environmental manipulations or changing the consequences. And of, like you had alluded to, we're definitely going to dive into some of that today.
You got it. Well, one of the things that we, and it's a tough situation, and I'm going to kind of, you know, try to get, it's a hard topic, is the situation where I will have children in a home and there has been a bite where the dog has bitten either it's a new infant, not that this necessarily bit the child, but there all of a sudden this is a behavior of biting that wasn't there before. You know, and I feel that, and right or wrong on my part, I always feel that if there has been, if a child has been bitten, that you just don't take that chance a second time. And I know that's kind of a hard line, but that's before we've had experts like yourself. So can you tell me something like that? If a child is bitten in a home, how would you handle something like that? What kind of questions do you ask? What do you look for when you're observing the home situation?
Yeah. And so what I do as a part of Canine Behavioral Blueprints is exactly that. I do in-home visits.
Okay.
And so I'm able to assess the behavior in the home. I know you probably have a little bit of a different perspective with them talking to you in a clinic. And sometimes you can see things when you're sitting in the home with folks.
Right.
So in a situation like that, what we really want to look at is how well can the behavior be managed? Are you able to create situations where you aren't going to put the dog or the child in a position of danger because the liability is great in these situations?
Right.
And
may I interrupt? So you're talking about physically separating them at all times?
Unless supervised. And I think that's where it gets a little bit more nuanced, because depending on the circumstances, if it's a resource guarding situation, you know, keeping everyone separate when food is involved is going to be imperative.
Right.
But that might not mean that they have to do a crate and rotate situation for the dog's entire life.
Okay.
But safety, of course, is of paramount concern. And so that's one of the biggest things, is how can we manage the environment to make sure that we keep everyone safe?
All right, but your goal is to try to keep everybody in the same home.
If we can, yes. Unfortunately, that's not always the case.
Okay.
And it's such a heartbreaking situation when that does occur. But I think having an objective pair of eyes, someone like me being able to come in and have that discussion, maybe we can problem solve. And that would be my goal. Because again, these pets are members of the family, but we do have to advocate for our own species when a child is involved, of course.
But, and I always tell parents that when they're in this kind of situation, you know, yes, this was a little nip, but can you imagine how you would feel if there was a permanent scar over the eye of your child? I mean, where would you be guilt-wise? Mm-hmm. You know, how would you feel that you put your child back in that situation? And can you live with that? And usually the answer is no. But I want to get back to this a little bit more, because I think this is very important, you know, for whether it's parents that are listening or grandparents that are listening and kind of have had this kind of worry. And so we're going to deal with this a little bit longer, okay?
Of course.
But we're going to take a quick break. And I just for a few little commercials, and then we'll come back with more veterinary edition of Pet Talk.
When you were eight and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool.
Welcome back. You're listening, believe it or not, to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and I am joined by our special guest, Dr. Allie Souser. She is a PhD in certified behavior analysis and a certified applied animal behaviorist, and also the owner and founder of Canine Behavioral Blueprints. And we've been talking about some serious issues, and I know all behavior is not bad. So even though we had our bumper music that came on talking about bad boys, it's usually that's when you are called as a specialist, is when there is unacceptable bad behavior. So I know we've got sort of into one specific type of behavior, but maybe you can take us through your process. When somebody calls about a specific behavior, how do you approach that case? How do you approach, I know you go into the home. So how is that done?
So I think what we had chatted a little bit about in that prior segment was, you know, one example. And in those examples, I think it's important for the listeners to be aware that each example is different. Each case is different.
Right.
And so, of course, there are general procedures to go through. And the first thing is acquiring information from the individual. And so I do have a pretty thorough intake form that I have all clients fill out before I even meet with them. And that gives me a good idea about what is going on. And in terms of what's going on, not only do I care about the behavior itself, whether that's a nip, a bite, fear-based behavior, I also care deeply about what is happening right before the behavior and what happens after.
Right.
Because that's how we're going to manipulate the environment in ways to change the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so that intake form is really helpful, because I can get an idea before even walking in, like maybe what's going on. And then once I'm in the home, I'm able to, you know, narrow that down even further. So an owner fills out that intake form for me before I even walk into the house.
How many pages is that intake for?
Oh, goodness. It's almost 100 questions.
Okay.
It's pretty intense.
I think we need to make sure people understood this realistically, because we used to do a lot with Tufts when they used to have, remember, faxes? When they used to, you know, sort of analyze a patient for us behaviorally by clients answering questions, and then we would tie in with our medical examination, and we'll touch on that, about where the medical side of this fits in here. And it was pages, and because you need that information. And you need those questions answered to try to get that before you put your hand on the animal.
Exactly, yes. So I am looking for something that's quite thorough. And to your point, it's not going to be a quick sit down, 2-minute survey. Mm-hmm. It is going to take a little bit of time, but it does pay off because it allows me to see those individual nuances and best support the client once I'm in the home.
I have, we were talking about a nip versus a bite. I don't know if that makes a difference in your expert eyes. But until someone can reach out to you and get set up and have someone come into the home and examine the situation, what would you recommend that I recommend to say to the owner?
Yeah. So looking at that example where a dog might nip a child, the
yes.
best thing to do in that circumstance until you are able to get, some professional eyes on the situation
mm-hmm.
would be to keep them separated.
Okay.
You just don't want to run the risk of pushing either the child too far or the dog too far and having that behavior escalate.
Right.
And once you have that guidance from a professional, they might have different recommendations and help you very systematically reintroduce.
Mm-hmm.
But until you have somebody in the home that understands how to address those behaviors, we just don't want to run the risk of something else happening.
On the medical side of that situation, when I get that phone call and it's a new behavior, it's not necessary that it's a newborn that's coming into the home and the patient or the dog or cat is showing some unusual behaviors. That's one thing. We're talking about a child that's been in the home, and all of a sudden this has happened. And from what we could see, it was not aggravated. Like the child didn't try to take the dog's toy out of its mouth or try to get into its food bowl. We do start with the physical exam. We tell our clients to make sure that we want to see the dog. Or cat, and we do a physical exam and some blood tests. And we also, looking at an area of hypothyroidism is something that we have seen, and where that can change their, having a low thyroid can change their attitude. There can change, we've seen some minor aggression because of that.
Yeah, and I think that leads beautifully into my role as a CAB. I do often collaborate with vets, and part of my intake form involves acquiring information about the vet. And if it is something that seems to have come up kind of suddenly, or as you had mentioned, it didn't appear to be aggravated, I do ask about when was the last vet check? Can I see the full vet records, not just a vaccination record, but I want to see what is going on. And usually at that point, I can at least parse apart, okay, this dog hasn't been evaluated in close to a year. We should go do a full vet workup before I even approach the issue.
Right.
And at that point, then the vet is on board and we can collaborate through the process.
And collaboration is, I love that word, because again, this is, I can't be a specialist in every aspect of animal care, but to work with a specialist like yourself is just such a help. It's so needed. And the other thing that I tend to see when there's a changed behavior with people in the house between animal and humans is living with chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks ago, we had a veterinary specialist from Pfizer, or Zoetis is the animal subsidiary for Pfizer. And we talked about osteoarthritis, and all of a sudden it can really become an issue where they're painful. And so if you have, you reach for their hips and all of a sudden they're turning around and biting, or they're just not feeling well because of other issues too, besides pain.
Yeah. And I think the interaction between medical issues and behavior is so intricate, where you might have something that is able to be resolved through a medical intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of it. And the problem solved.
Right.
But then you also have situations where the behavior has now been learned.
Right.
So let's think about the example where reaching towards and touching the hips may have been painful. Even if you are able to resolve that issue, that behavior has now been learned, and or there's an association where in the past when somebody's reached towards the hips, it has been painful.
They remember.
And you still have this behavior that's occurring. And so that's where it can be important to make sure that you're looking at the organism, of course, as a whole, as I know the vets do, and that the problem might not be resolved as simply as through a medical intervention.
Right. So that even though you think you have a handle on it, And you have to just be very careful that it stays ingrained on them, and they have to learn to trust the next time you touch them, it's going to be A-okay.
Yes.
I think that's really important. And I know your area, your strong area is with canines. That's what you work with. I know we get calls here quite often with cats and inappropriate urination or inappropriate defecation, meaning they're not going in their litter box. And it can take 2 hours just discussing that and those different options. But even once if it is, say, a urinary tract infection that started the whole thing, we often tell our clients, but still, now we have to work in having them trust that the litter box is not going to hurt so much.
Exactly.
All right. Well, then thank you so much. We've time for our news. We have to take a hard, hard break. So we're going to have more Pet Talk with Dr. Salazar. So come on back in a few minutes at WTIC News Talk 1080.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
You got to play a little Michael Jackson. Welcome back. You're listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital and welcoming you back. It is it's my honor, and it's been a delight speaking with our guest, Dr. Ali Salazar, because we're talking about some truly problematic behaviors that I encounter as a veterinarian. And I work with some many different combinations of medications, but yet I don't have the expertise. And I don't have, quite honestly, the time to go into people's homes and kind of analyze what that situation is. And it's really, we're very, very fortunate that we do have Dr. Salazar in the area that could do just that, come and see some of these very difficult situations. And that's part of your approach is you can't do this over the phone. You can't do this on the air. You have to see it, correct?
Yes. It is important to be able to observe the behavior as well as, you know, what happens before and after to give the best look for treatment.
Excellent. Before we go on to talk about a couple more kind of specific types of cases, you know, I knew when I was 4 years old that I wanted to become a veterinarian. That was just something that I saw one of my kittens in at that young age that had a difficult situation. And I remember going to the veterinarians and it just watching. It was a doctor. The name just escapes me, but it'll come back. They're in Bloomfield, but he was so gentle with the kitten. He made them sure the kitten had ear mites. Okay. So it was so, but yet I was able to bring the kitten home and everything was fine. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference. I loved animals and I wanted to see how can I help. So I'm going to ask you, Dr. Salzer, why did you choose this area for your profession?
You know, I grew up with pets in the home from little on, and I feel like as a small child, there was an interest in maybe becoming a vet at one point. But I think for me, what was so cool was to be able to see the behavior change in an instant by using like treats, for example.
Okay.
And so teaching my puppy how to go to place and then being excited and showing my parents what I just taught the puppy was always really exciting.
Yes.
But I think I initially thought that pet training was going to be more of a hobby. And I think, you know, 20 years ago, that was what a lot of folks thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that you did on top of your day job.
Right.
And then I went to college and I had no idea what behavior analysis was.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stumbled upon that through an internship at the local shelter.
Okay.
And at the shelter, unfortunately, this is a pretty sad story. I fell in love with a dog and he was euthanized due to behavior issues because the shelter just did not have the resources.
Right.
And that really stuck with me.
Okay.
And in, I think it was that moment with Richie, that boxer mix that I will never forget, that I knew that I wanted to make a difference in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that sent me on a trajectory to obtain my PhD. And most of the programs with behavior analysis have been involved with people. You may have heard of applied behavior analysis working with kids with autism.
Mm-hmm.
But the science is so much more vast than just kids with autism. And I wanted to take that information and the science and apply it into a different field. And that's a much smaller, applied animal behavior is a much smaller field.
Well, I think that we're, again, reassured that you're here to help us. And I'd like to then, Dr. McDonald, that was the name of the doctor. I knew it would come back to me. They were there forever, he and his brother. I think his brother or his cousin. But anyways, Dr. McDonald was the veterinarian that I went to when I was a little girl and just kind of changed, knew what I wanted to do. Every paper, every little drawing I did from then on was, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? So I've been very fortunate. It's because sometimes it's really easier. If you know what you want to do, I kind of know people that kind of struggle with their choices for careers, and I've always felt very fortunate and lucky that this all worked out for me. So that's why we do this on Saturdays, because I'm grateful. So I think I know we have a little bit of time before we have to take that break, but can we start talking about how you, say you and I working together? Because like I mentioned when we first came back from the break, I mentioned that I will use certain medicines to kind of help. We're using quite a bit of something called gabapentin for dogs that have anxiety just walking through the door. And then we're seeing more of that during COVID, where dogs that just never went out, they never went to other people's homes, they just stayed in their house. And it's just nice little anti-anxiety medicine, takes the edge off. They love coming in. Because my belief is that every time they have an anxiety situation, it just helps build on it for the next time it's going to happen. And you can tell me you're totally wrong, Dr. Dennis, but yeah, that's my belief. But How would we handle a case together that, say, I know that there's a medical problem, for example, I've seen some behavior changes with a disease called Addison's, which is hypoadrenocorticism, and there's certain breeds that have it more than others. Some Westies that we know have it. Great Danes. So with a situation like that where I know what the disease is, that we're treating the disease, and the behavior still exists, the change in behavior.
Yeah, I think for something like Addison's, and you and I discussed off air that I have actually had a recent case with this where there was a medical concern, a very dramatic behavior change. The owners mm-hmm. described that it felt like it was overnight.
Okay.
And so at that point, that's where I would, you know, cue in the veterinarian to do that workup. Okay. And in this instance, that was the diagnosis. It was Addison's. And so while the veterinarian was working with that and finding a treatment plan, what had happened was that behavior occurred and was reinforced in the environment, mm-hmm. meaning that there was a consequence that happened after the behavior that helped maintain it and
okay.
continue it. And so even though the medical treatment side was, you know, progressing in the way that mm-hmm. the vets would advise, that behavior was still occurring.
Oh, wow.
And so it did involve, you know, some emails back and forth with the vet, as well as, you know, a few phone calls to talk about how we wanted to address that. And in this instance, with it being Addison specifically, once the medication was where it needed to be for the dog, we were able to do a more like strict behavior plan.
Okay.
I think you've also alluded a little bit to anxiety
yes.
and with COVID, and that seems to be, you know, more of an ongoing issue where it might not feel as quite as resolved as quickly as maybe something, or straightforward, I should say, as
right.
something like Addison's. And that's where going into the home can be so helpful, because sometimes the dog might experience a very anxious event, a stressful event.
Mm-hmm.
And like you had very accurately described that, like, this can perpetuate the problem and make
it good.
Worse.
I was right.
So, but there are some circumstances where I walk in and the dog is completely relaxed and might panic only when other cars are around
mm-hmm.
or panic only when they see another dog. And that would be an instance where I might have a conversation with the vet and say, hey, like, this is what I'm seeing. It seems very situational. And then, you know, kind of put the ball in your court, because that's where my expertise and my scope ends.
Right.
And you might have an idea for something that might be a good situational medication compared to if I go into the house and the dog just appears anxious, as shown by its behavior
right.
across a lot of different contexts,
mm-hmm.
then I can report that back to the vet and say, hey, based off of what I'm seeing, I think maybe a medication that's always on board, like an anxiolytic, might be more advisable. And
right.
again, that's pretty much where I stop, because I am not a vet and I'm not qualified to recommend any specific medication. But I think that's where that collaborative nature can be so helpful, where I see things in the house that you might not necessarily see in the clinic, and
right.
just having that discussion.
And I think the to have the working together, because I'm not going into the home, and you see so much more than what a client, the owners, will articulate. I always say that I don't feel as a veterinarian, or I personally am the smartest person in the room, but I am the most observant person in the room, because that's my job, is to observe our patients. And there are things that I will pick up, whether it's a dog coming in with a slight little lameness that the owners don't even recognize, because it's so gradual when it happens at home. But when you have outside eyes coming in to see it, you just have to get a whole different perspective. So that's great. And so you're right now you're kind of working in the Harford County area. Do you have a limit and where you'll travel?
That's a great question. I at this point, I describe my servicing area as 25 miles in the radius of Middletown.
Okay.
And part of that is my husband is at Quinnipiac. So I do tend to go down south towards Hamden, North Haven. And I do love that area as well. But I also have had clients that are technically outside of that servicing area. And we've just discussed, you know, a travel fee to accommodate for that time. But
right.
my goal is to be as helpful as possible. And I don't want there to be a hard line where you're 26 miles. I can't help you. I'm sorry. That's
right.
not why I got into this.
Well, again, there's a lot of towns within 25 miles of Middletown, that's for sure. And again, I think it also depends on what highway, if there is a highway versus all back roads.
That's true.
Listen, we have to take a quick break, Dr. Salzer, but then I would really love you to come kind of bring us to the top of the show. Are you willing to stay around?
Of course.
Okay, fantastic. So we're going to go ahead and take that quick break, but then come back and have more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Got a girl with California eyes, and I thought that she could really be the one this time, but I never got the chance to make a mind.
Welcome back. I can't believe the hour is almost over. We only have about 10 more minutes here on Pet Talk. Before we move forward, though, I have to thank Justin Levine for a very appropriate bumper music with our topic, talking about how we work professionally with behavior issues that I see in my veterinary practice with Dr. Ali Salzer. And I also want to thank Kevin Corza for doing a fabulous job producing this show and making sure things are running smoothly. We've got so much information to cover. I haven't asked the audience to call in, but I think another time it would be great to be able to open up the phone lines and we can discuss some of these matters. So Dr. Ali Salzer, she is the owner and founder of Canine Behavioral Blueprints, and we were talking about some difficult behaviors, not just aggression, but sometimes even, urinating in inappropriate places. But once you devise your plan, and I know the answer is going to be it's not set in stone, but how long of a process does this generally take to get your dog or cat back where they should have been?
Yes. And I think, the cop-out answer is it depends.
Okay.
But I think to maybe give listeners a better idea and some guidance would be typically my programs that do involve more severe problem behavior are 4 sessions in length. So the first one is very much that assessment and evaluation in the home. And a lot of times we can at least start on a behavior plan. I'd like to see the client within a week, so that we can actually start to implement that behavior plan.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, the second half of the program, those second 2 sessions, do tend to be a little bit more flexible, and that I like to have a few weeks in between so that the owners have a chance to actually practice what we've been working on. And in the interim, I think just from my days back at teaching at the University of Kansas, I offer office hours because that's something I used to do for my students. So I want everyone to know that they're supported through the process.
Yeah.
And then usually that last session is more of like a troubleshooting what's going on. Now, depending on the level of severity, you might see changes within a few weeks or even a month or so. And for a lot of individuals, you at least see some change. They might not be right back where they were, that immediate baseline. And I think part of that is we don't really think of behavior as having a cure. It is a part of their history now.
Right.
But we still want to make sure that they have the highest possible quality of life. Mm-hmm. And that involves, having normal species typical behavior. So I'd say, I can't guarantee, and any ethical trainer wouldn't guarantee a certain level of behavior change, but we do see behavior change pretty quickly.
Oh, good.
And that can
in a positive direction.
Yes,
okay.
More often than not, of course.
Okay.
And I think with that, that can be encouraging, where it's like maybe my dog's not quite where I want them to be after a month, but we're seeing change in the right direction. And then that only gets better with time and with what I would call high treatment integrity. Are you actually implementing the plan?
It's like, are you brushing their dog's teeth?
Exactly.
Are you really doing it? Yeah. And again, I would assume let your clients know that, hey, if we may need a refresher, this is what I would, kind of like look for if we need to kind of like continue working on.
Yes. And I do offer follow-up sessions after the fact, because sometimes people do just want or need a check-in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important that they have that support through the entire process, because it isn't always going to be, all right, in a month, things are perfect.
Well, and one of the things that I tend to, like I mentioned, medications, I do think they play a role. But I tell people when we have this much of an intense behavioral issue, I want to make sure I'm not going to prescribe medications unless they are working with a behaviorist, because you need both of them together in some situations, and well, actually most situations when it comes to my attention. And there are certain drugs that I do feel that need to be on board all the time, like just every single day. They just kind of need it to smooth out the edges, and others where you can give it prior to whatever is going to be the trigger. So that's my area of expertise. I know there's drugs like, you know, and there's human drugs that we kind of use in the animal kingdom. I'm personally not a fan of Xanax. I think I can get very unpredictable responses, but we have doggy Prozac. Like I said, we have gabapentin. We have some of these things, and we have a lot of calls around fireworks, around noise. And there's some veterinary prescription medicines like Celio that's available for that. So let's work together on that one. I know I do the prescribing, but we'll make that the case. So one of the things that we are seeing still, lots of puppies and kittens, and we recommend some training at a young age. Can you tell the difference between, because Lori Fass is here on alternate Saturdays, and she is our certified pet trainer. But the difference between a trainer and a behaviorist, a doctor like yourself.
Yes. And I think to start us out, one thing that I would like the listeners to at least be aware of is that unfortunately the pet training industry is unregulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to have a credential in order to become a dog trainer. And Lori's phenomenal in that she does have the credentials.
Right.
And so that would be something when you just look for a dog trainer, having somebody that's had some credentialed experience is right. really important.
Yes, I agree.
Regarding, you know, maybe when to choose a behaviorist compared to a trainer, you know, the trainer's general area of expertise tends to be teaching new behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And those behaviors might be more appropriate alternatives to maybe problematic behavior. But oftentimes, those behaviors that are being taught might not be getting at, you know, the issue itself, like the core issue. In some cases, it might be. Like
right.
teaching a dog not to jump on you to get attention for sitting yeah. instead of jumping would
right.
be a great example of where that alternative behavior might be, you know, perfect and having a trainer work with the individual. But there are other situations where things might be a little bit more complex where just teaching an alternative behavior isn't
mm-hmm.
enough.
Right.
And getting at the function of the behavior and finding out maybe what is going on from that antecedent, that what happens before the behavior level, and manipulating some of the things that are happening after the behavior in order to change, you know, the dog's viewpoint, like the stress level around that, is going to be a little bit more in-depth than just teaching a dog to sit when it sees maybe another dog that it's excited to say hi to.
You know, in my world, I have people that will just think that it's a behavioral change, but it's often medical. You know, the dog that doesn't want to jump on the couch anymore. And we talked about osteoarthritis. And when they mention that, I start thinking medical, because that's obviously my job. The other thing too is, and I don't know how much you work with, we see as in our elderly patient world, we see a lot of cognitive dysfunction. And there, I again work with on the medicinal side, and at least ask people to try it. Have you seen that in your practice so far, where it's really they're getting older?
Yes.
I'm not going to call it Alzheimer's, but you know, they get confused,
mm-hmm.
and that's why their behavior changes. Not that they're trying to do anything wrong; that it's just confusion.
I absolutely love that you bring this up, because
okay.
I think most people talk about behavior problems with like puppies and adolescent dogs,
mm-hmm.
but this canine, you know, dysfunction that you're describing.
Yeah.
We do see it,
okay.
and there are ways that we can try to prevent that through very specific catered enrichment towards senior dogs.
Oh, wow.
Because it is a little bit different. You
yeah.
can't do a full-on agility course with a dog that's 12,
right.
just as, you know, an example.
Right.
But there are other activities that you can do to at least slow some of the decline and make sure that, you know, the last few years that you have with your companion are, again, best quality of life, and they aren't engaging in some of that confusion or other symptoms that you might be seeing in a clinic.
Right. So you're kind of like giving them little things, little games to kind of keep their mind sharp. Is
yes.
that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Like food puzzles. Is that part of
that
your...
That is part of it.
Okay.
And adapting, you know, other enrichment activities so that it's at the level of the dog that they can do.
Right.
You know, nose work, other things, but maybe decreasing the response effort so that it's still fun for the dog. They are capable of doing it. And then it, again, promotes, you know, some of that mental stimulation.
Well, I'm not going to put you on the spot because I know we've got diets that are coming out too that are kind of being marketed as helping with the brain activity. I have to tell you that sometimes, you know, shame on me. That's why I love working with a specialist like yourself, because I tend to, well, I love this a product called Anapril, Selegiline. I have seen huge differences, and it really does, again, it's a product put out by Zoetis, and people will see 50% improvement. Like those first elderly dogs that start to, you know, like kind of their nighttime becomes day and daytime becomes night, and they can't, you know, the elderly dog is up all night long, pretty much. But then when they get on the medication, it's we're getting back to normal. But they have seen, okay, there's enough going on with just living with an elderly pet. They've seen a difference in the quality of life. But where I'm disciplining myself is the fact that I have never thought about doing games and trying, what can we do to slow the process? You know, that's been very, very helpful for me. I have all sorts of ideas how we slow osteoarthritis down, but not that. So thank you so much. We're going to have to do this again.
Because I would love to be back.
The hour went by, and I think we're going to have to be able to take questions on the air in the future. But listen, I want to thank the audience for listening. Again, it was a little something different. Hopefully, I know my world has been opened up. And I just want to thank Dr. Ali Salzer so much for being here. And again, the name of her company is CaninBehavioralBlueprints.com is a great website to go to. And maybe make a little contact. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.